right, Threesome Podcast 44. It's Lex and Stacy. Hello there, Stace. How are you?
Hi, Lex. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I am enjoying another rainy, tornado-y afternoon here in the Metroplex. About the 21st or 22nd one in a row.
We had a tornado watch the other day, but that's been about the weather, bad weather here in Michigan.
You guys get tornadoes?
On occasion.
Yeah, I didn't think you got them, but like once a decade or whatever.
We don't ever get big ones like, you know, you guys do in Oklahoma and stuff. But my mother-in-law's house was actually hit by one a couple years ago. It just uprooted some trees. It didn't actually hit the house itself.
Poor Oklahoma, man. You know, they get hit in the same place that Moore and Norman area. You know, when Oklahoma City gets it, it's always there. Like 3 or 4 years running, those two places have just gotten devastated. And it's like, I'd move.
I was just thinking that. I agree. It becomes insensitive, though, because, you know, if they could, I'm sure some of them would. But it's just more difficult for some people to pick up and move, you know, financially. And
yeah, I mean, it's easier said than done, for sure. But yes. Once 3 years in a row go by with an F4 or an F5, you know, rolling through your neighborhood. And, of course, if you're family-oriented and you've got cousins nearby and you know, brother-in-laws and sister-in-laws living in the area, I mean, the chance of one of them getting hit's pretty good.
Right.
And
I know. I mean, I feel the same way about hurricanes, kind of, you know, as a person from the north. I couldn't imagine living someplace where there is always that fear that your house is just going to get swept away in a giant wave.
You know, my chick and I have arguments about hurricanes versus tornadoes. And I have not had the displeasure of being through a tornado. I've been in the shelter a couple times, and I've been in some really bad hailstorms where tornadoes were just a couple miles away. Right. But that's as close as it's gotten. I mean, the brute force of a tornado and the immediacy is quite frightening.
Yes.
But I was trying to convey to her what it's like to get caught in a hurricane and how unnerving it is. As you know, your house is getting constantly pelted with 80 to 90 to 100 mile an hour winds for 11 to 15 hours.
Right.
And, you know, I told her we tried to sit one out that came through the Jacksonville. There's three of them that came through Jacksonville within the span of like 6 weeks. And the first one kind of went on the upper edge, and it wasn't too bad. We sat through it. And the second one went a little lower and kind of came right through Jacksonville. And it wasn't I think it was a Category 3, but it was still, you know, 100 to 120 mile an hour winds for a really long period of time. And of course it stopped for a while because we were right in the eye of it, and this everything just dropped, no wind, no nothing, you know, just but you could just feel the air being swept up into the atmosphere, you know.
That weird pressure feeling.
Yeah it's like being on an airplane that's landing. You're like clearing your ears and stuff like that, and then you feel it, the back end of it coming through, and the wind picking up again, and the rain picking up again. Back end of it's even worse. And I remember, you know, 6.5-7 hours just hearing stuff breaking off my house.
Now, was this my only one? Was Floyd was. So was this before Floyd?
It was right in that area. Remember, we evacuated for Floyd. That's when
I didn't, yeah. But you guys all did.
Yeah, we did. It took Terry 17 hours to get to Tampa.
Funniest thing I ever heard him say, talking about, because he and Sherry were stuck on 75 in like stop and go traffic for hours. And he just simply said, we almost had a divorce. Uh-huh. And it's like, I understand that. That's like something relatable. Being stuck in a car, you know, that long.
Yeah, you and 300,000 other couples on their way to. Yes. We took my mom and Sandy's whole family. I'm talking sisters, brother-in-laws, you know, grandmothers. We had two rooms in this run-down piece of shit hotel in Valdosta, Georgia. And my poor mom, she was, you know, and going through her last 5 years of her life and all that cancer, and she had just had a colostomy bag put in, so she had like no privacy. And I don't know if you've ever been around somebody that has one of those, but even if they keep their act together and keep it clean, you still smell it. She was humiliated, embarrassed. I had to deal with that, you know. Plus, you know, Sandy's grandmother was, you know, it's just an old, demanding, you know, I can't think of anything nice, so I won't say it.
Old lady.
Yeah. And all I remember from that trip was Keith, my brother-in-law, and I, after 3 days of being in two rooms, of sleeping on floors and sleeping in corners on chairs and sleeping on hardwood chairs with your elbow on the table, wherever you could get a seat. After 3 days of that, when things started clearing up and we were going to get to go home in the next 18 hours, we decided that we're going to go down to the YMCA in Valdosta and blow off a little steam and go to the gym. And the next thing I know, I've got like 10 high school dudes standing around me watching me bench press 100 pounds more than I'm capable of because I had so much pissedivity in me. And they're like, come over, watch this freak, man. This fucking dude. It's like, oh, my God. He's putting up like 300 pounds. I was like, ah, ha. Yeah.
So you weren't making the cute, sexy Lindsay Vonn noises?
No. So hot.
She was in rehab. You were just pissed because you had to have family time.
Well, I mean... I mean, Stacy, you know, I don't want to be around 10 people I really like. You know, if I could hand select 10 people to spend 2 days in a hotel with, it would still be bad. But,
right.
You know, I really only dug the personalities of like four of these people.
I understand.
The rest of them are the thing we lovingly call family. And, you know, and it was, I'm telling you, you know, Keith was the same way. He was like over there on the, you know, hand weights going, it was amazing the adrenaline we had in us because of just how pent up and, you know, it was like we were caged animals with...
Right.
You know, it was
awful.
Either
that or kill grandma.
Yeah, and it's like everything was getting real snarky, you know, because it's first, you know, at first you're the son-in-law and the grandson-in-law, and you're, you know, you want to make a good impression for your wife or their family and all that, and you're... Like, you know, is there anything I can get for you? You want me to go get some food? And, you know, and by day three, it's like, we're having fucking McDonald's. There's no special orders. There's no, okay? I'm getting.
Shut your fucking mouth, old hag. Yeah, why won't you die?
There's fucking 10 of us. I'm getting 10 Cokes, 10 Big Macs, and 10 fries. That's what I'm doing. Everybody on the page, good. And
it's funny. Every family, every person understands that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But this was just extenuating circumstances. You know, everybody wanted to go home. Everybody was just, you know. You know, and of course, Samantha was, when was Floyd? Samantha was, what, 3, 2, you know. I mean,
it was at least 14 years ago, yeah, maybe 15 years ago.
I mean, she was, she was
a boo-boo.
I don't even know if she could walk yet. I just don't remember really, but, you know, we had her and, you know, she was the only baby there and it was just crazy. It was so fucked up. And, I was trying to explain to Lisa what hurricanes are like, how inconvenient they are. Even if you leave town, you know, your life just stops. If it's coming to your area, even if you get out of the way safely, you're still sitting in some bad environment somewhere because everybody's trying to book hotels. Everybody's trying to go somewhere. So your surroundings are never perfect, you know, so you can relax. And right. And you're wondering if your house is just getting pelted. You know, you got your pets with you. You got to take them out all the time, and so they can relieve themselves. And you know, it's just I just remember what a fucking mess it was. And right. You know, but I also told her what it was like to sit through one. And I said, and all the time I was there, I was never in a devastating one. I said, but when I went back to work at Rock 105, when I moved back from Los Angeles, my first day on the air was when Andrew was going through South Florida.
Oh, my.
And I will never, ever, ever forget the satellite imagery. Looked like a weed eater just went through the bottom of South Florida.
Right.
I mean, when they showed it, I guess, from 5 miles or 8 miles in space, it literally looked like, you know, when you run a weed eater through thick grass. That's what it looked
right.
like. And I was just talking to a friend of mine who had a house in that, lost his house completely. He said, oh, yeah. He goes, I couldn't believe people tried to sit that out. He goes, we got... As soon as I saw it was 280-mile-an-hour winds at times and that it was beelining straight for the Miami area, he goes, I got out, you know, immediately. And when I came...
See, that was what was so creepy about Katrina. Just hold it thought, because it was when the weather service actually said, this is going to be a deadly storm. You need to get out now. I'd never heard... the weather people say that before.
Yeah.
I think, you know, trying to get the point across, you're going to die if you stay in New Orleans.
Yeah, because it was coming right into the metro, both of those. You know, were very highly populated areas, which presents all kinds of problems. And
right.
And I remember just looking at people's camera shots and everything, all the rubble was a foot off the ground. I mean, there was nothing standing, nothing. There was no structure. There wasn't anything that made it. Even the palm trees were completely bent over, and they're almost impossible to uproot and get rid of. I mean, they're
right.
Those, you know,
they're made for that. That's what they are.
Yeah, I mean, they will bend completely over and right themselves, usually. Maybe they'll be tilted, but for the most part, they'll make it through. They were gone too. I mean, it was a buzzsaw, and she's like, "Well, tornadoes are much more, you know, deadly than hurricanes are." And I'm like, and she goes, "And you can leave if a hurricane's coming." I said, "Yeah, but the thing is, if a hurricane's coming directly on you, you're going somewhere to get away from it, most assuredly coming back to your everything you have being ruined, gone."
Right.
She goes, "Well, that's the same thing with a tornado." I said, "Yeah, but I'm talking about a massively huge area."
See, they both have kind of their, and I can tell you that the dread, that sense of dread when you know, a hurricane doesn't sneak up on you. Like she said, you know, right. It's coming. You can prepare both mentally and, you know, whatever. If you decide to sit it out or if you decide to evacuate, whatever. At least you know. Tornadoes, other than like, you know, there's a tornado watch, there's a tornado warning. You don't know. And they could actually just start up like 3 feet from your house. You know, a tornado can start anywhere at any time. And you have no idea that it's coming.
I had the displeasure of seeing one form less than a half mile from my house, coming straight in my direction. And as quick as it formed, it quit.
But, this is in Texas?
Yeah. But okay. I saw it happen. I mean, I just went, wow. I saw the rotation. I even have a picture of it somewhere. I saw the rotation. It literally touched ground and then went back up. But we would have been dead. I wouldn't even have had time to go in the house and get Sandy and Samantha and get them underground. There was no time for that. That's how quick it happened.
You guys do have basements there?
We had a tornado shelter. We actually put one in.
Oh, okay.
And
because that was the thing in Michigan. You know, I have a basement. You know, most people have basements if you have like a house.
Yeah. So you're
and
okay.
That was like getting a, you know, moving to Florida and everything's on slabs and then people explaining, you know, the water and all that. And it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it makes sense, you know.
Yeah. Texas has the same deal with the groundwater and stuff like that. But the thing we put in was the equivalent of like, it looked like the cabin of a boat. It was made out of fiberglass. It was weighted down with 6,000 pounds of concrete rocks. And just put underground. It was just a hatch, and you go down in that.
Gotcha. And it's like a modern day storm cellar.
Yeah, it had it circulated air and stuff like that. You know, that ran off a solar panel.
Cool.
So you had like 45 minutes worth of electricity and air and all that stuff, and even had somewhat of a cell signal. So.
Which wouldn't have mattered because, you know, a tornado, a really bad one, is going to knock all the towers down.
Yeah, it will. But at least it gave us a fighting chance.
No, I understand.
Yeah. And but so I totally get it. But she really makes me angry how she just kind of poo-poos hurricanes. Like they're not even anything close. And I'm like, you just don't get it. You know, you have no idea what it's like to have 11 hours in front of you of just hearing things break off your house or break off somebody else's and hit yours. You know, hear windows break, hear transformers blow up and watch your lights go off. And it happens like clockwork. And I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I said, I will never sit out another hurricane.
Right.
And call me a pussy, do whatever you want. It's as much as it's physically disturbing, it's even more mentally disturbing. You're just listening to the money ring up.
I'm not laughing. I understand what you're saying. You know, see, I guess I consider a hurricane from a psychological standpoint. Hurricanes are more worrisome, whereas tornadoes are more sheer, stark, immediate terror.
Yeah.
Like right then and there, scaring the crap out of you. You can't maintain that level of terror for a long time. So then what you get is the hurricane sense of dread and just worry of like, oh my God, it's not ever going to stop.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And here's the other thing when it comes to hurricanes. When they get on the front or tail end of them, they can spawn tornadoes.
Right.
And she goes, "You mean
surprise?"
And she goes, "You mean water spouts?" I'm like, "Yeah, if you're near the ocean, I suppose so, but no, it on land tornadoes." And I said, "You don't understand. These things are so big, they suck all the barometric pressure out of the area."
Right.
And when it comes back in and starts restabilizing, shit happens. I said there, I mean, I went, Lisa, just look at one sometime that's in full, you know, full imagery on a satellite and look at the, just the size of it. You know, it's I know it's apples and oranges, but even if you get away from it, sometimes you have to go 700 miles to get away from it.
Right.
And it's not like you can just catch a plane or anything like that. You have to really have your shit together as far as what your plan is. Because there's plenty of tales of people getting totally wiped out on I-95. You know, and having a hurricane come through and blow everybody's cars and, you know, across the freeway and into the...
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. She doesn't get it. She's just never been in one, doesn't understand it. You know, to her, you can just catch a plane and leave.
Right.
It's like, you don't understand. They cancel all those things. You know, they don't want panic or catastrophe. They want people to just get in their vehicles and go see family in three or four states away.
Right. And everyone else is doing it at the same exact time.
Yeah, you're talking about a billion people trying to leave a state. You know, and I'm trying to explain to her, it's like Florida's a peninsula. It's not like you can go just next door. Everybody's going bottlenecking out of either I-10 or 95 or 75 out of the state.
Right.
That's it. That's your options. So, you know, it's we have these arguments all the time.
I find tornadoes scarier, but like you said, the hurricane is a longer, drawn out, dreadful dread, just anxiety.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to put myself in different scenarios, like pre-storm scenarios where I know the shit's coming with both of them. And the hurricane to me is a much more unsettling thing. You know, because the people are gone. If you decide to ride it out, you know, everybody's gone. You just see random trash blown across the road. There's no vehicles. There's no anything. It's just like... Okay, everybody's gone, but you and a few others, you've made your decision. Get ready.
Will I be the one everyone's reading about and talking about tomorrow morning at work?
Yeah, am I the guy that gets sucked out of my house and you find me, you know, up in a tree?
Yes, your naked body is hanging upside down. Yeah, and for some reason it makes like the cover of Time and Life magazine.
Yeah, in my dirty underwear. You know, because I've shit myself.
Because you shit yourself, yes.
It's like, oh, God, disgusting old fucker, man.
Whenever they show your iconic dead photo, they always have little blurries over your ass parts.
Yeah. No, I just picture, you know, the Ann Terry show just laughing their ass off.
I'm sorry. It was how you said it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be laughing.
You know, and I'd be disappointed if they didn't. That's the sick fuck part of it right there is... It's like, you guys better joke about this. This better not be some morbid, you know, the time you finally do something right.
He shit himself.
Yeah. Poor Lexi defecated himself, and he must have been so scared, and we love him so much, and, you know, we're going to miss him. And, you know, yeah, I mean, I'd rather have them go. Why? Lex! You got to fly, dude.
Didn't your mama tell you to use the bathroom?
What was the one What was the one in Orlando? It was either a hurricane or a tornado where they found like the baby. They found a baby like 2.5 miles away in a field. You know, it was all muddy and everything, but it's like didn't have anything wrong with it, but it traveled, you know, inside a tornado or hurricane that far, threw the baby on the ground, and they found it alive.
Wow. You occasionally hear stories like that, so I don't, you know which example that was.
Yeah.
Those little tiny bodies, apparently very...
flexible.
Liftable.
Yeah. Yes. Very flexible little bodies. Yeah, which, you know, because they're too young to be scared. It's just like, wee! Wee? Wee? Yeah. Now, you're not coming down in your dad's arms this time. You're about to get a face full of corn.
And Lex's dead, shittable body.
Yes. You're going to run into my old man shit body in the air. Welcome to
Lex is leaving behind a fecal plume.
Yeah. Welcome to the world, kid. It's going to be a hell of a story for you. I'd leave me out of it if I were you. Just make yourself look like the hero. You know, make sure you didn't take a face full of shit on the way down. I mean, it blows me away, people, that there are even stories like that. You know, you expect everybody to do the right thing and be orderly and put the, you know, grab the stuff they need, all the stuff they tell you to do, but it's like, it seems like nobody does it. Nobody.
And that's why it's surprising humans, honestly, have progressed as far as we have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it blows my mind how people are told to do something over and over and over again, and then they don't. And in my case, you know, I'm one of these, like, people that prepares for that stuff. The batteries, the lanterns, you know, I had a hurricane kit, you know, with water in it and stuff like that. And I remember going down to get it when we were sticking that one out and saw that the bottles of water were gone. I'm like, what happened to the bottles of water? And Sandy's like, oh, I had some workers here one day and, you know, I didn't feel like going out, so I just gave them to them, you know, so they could have something to drink. I'm like, are you serious? I'm like, A, I didn't even remember this was in here. I knew we had a hurricane kit and we did all the right things. But as far as knowing in my mind that if I ran out of water, I could go downstairs and get some out of that, didn't even cross my mind.
Right.
But if I did, I know what would have crossed my mind. Replacing them.
See, I, you know, because here in Michigan, honestly, other than the random tornado, it's winter time, you know, and we don't, where I live, we don't have blizzards. Like, I don't think we had any blizzards this past winter, for instance. You know, yeah. Blizzard is very rare, at least right in my area. But, you know, I always make sure to have, like, a Snickers bar in the glove box of the car. There's, in the winter, there's always a blanket or two. You know, I try to do that kind of stuff just so that if something bad happens, I'm not, you know, found in the spring frozen somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I'm just amazingly prepared for stuff like that. You know, I get the reputation for not being a well-prepared person, but for things like that, I make sure my act's together. You know, because it's not about me. You know, once you have a kid, you're like, oh, God, I don't want to be that guy that we ran out of water because I suck.
They would have lived if only they had water.
Yeah, which, you know, if you really do an analysis of it, that's just me thinking about me not looking bad. So it's still selfish.
Everything is selfish in some way or another.
It is.
So just embrace it.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I would rather have the husband/father of the family be prepared because, you know, he doesn't want to look bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to the other guy who just doesn't give a shit no matter what.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah, like the, have you seen Secrets and Lies yet?
No.
this guy's best friend on there is so awesome. You know, he's one of those guys that's like, hey, you know, I hid the flashlight because I didn't want anybody to think you murdered that kid. He's like, well, now everybody's going to think that. He goes, it's all good, dude. Oh, God.
Have you seen, it just came out last week on Netflix, Grace and Frankie? It's a Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
I saw it on there. I want to check it out.
The first episode will determine whether or not you want to watch it or not. I laughed out loud. I think that Lily Tomlin is just always, I've always felt she was a gem. I think she's just a little treasure, and she is so delightfully crass in this show. And Jane Fonda is 77 years old, and she can still wear a pair of jeans and look fabulous. I can't believe how good that woman looks. And she's not like Joan Rivers tight and her lips don't move. She looks like an older woman. Of mm-hmm. course, she doesn't look 77, but she just looks fantastic. And it's Martin Sheen and Sam. Is it Waterston?
Waterston,
the
yeah.
guy from...
Who was on with her in the newsroom.
Okay.
Yeah, that Aaron Sorkin thing that they did. And
gotcha.
So they loved working together, you could tell. So it looks like they're doing that again. She must have brought him in on the project or vice versa. And yeah, they're great together. I mean, I'd like to see that. That definitely piques my interest.
It made me LOL. So
she is such a good actress. And
now, which one are you talking about, Lily or Jane?
Jane.
Okay.
She is such a good actress. Oh, Lily Tomlin's not a bad actress either, even though that's really not her background.
She always plays the same, at least what I've seen, kind of the same. Because in this one, she just happens to be rich, but she's an old hippie and tries to do the right thing from a metaphysical standpoint, but has this mouth that's just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like Terry and his metaphysical stuff. It's like, this doesn't mesh, but okay. Yeah, he seems to be sincere about it as far as wanting to be a better metaphysical, you know, in touch person. But, you know, he says unmetaphysical things sometimes.
She does a lot.
Yeah.
Because the premise of the show, for anyone who hasn't seen this on Netflix, is Jane Fonda and Martin Sheen are an old married couple, like 40 years. And
yeah.
Then Lily Tomlin and Sam Waterston have been married. And Martin Sheen and Sam have been law partners for like 40 years as well. And they're all retired and all this stuff. And Martin Sheen and Sam come out and declare that they have been gay lovers for the past 20 years, and they are divorcing Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin so that they can be together. Let the hilarity ensue.
And it's good, huh?
It is.
Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. I just went back on Netflix and started watching Breaking Bad, which I kind of spotly watched, you know, through its existence on AMC.
Right.
But now I'm binge watching it, and oh my God, how did I miss out on that show? How?
See, per your mentioning it a couple podcasts ago, I started watching Louie. And
oh,
I'm not going to watch season 4. Season 3 really couldn't have been more depressing.
Yeah.
And perhaps I'm not all that deep and artsy, I don't know, but I just found no joy in watching it.
All right, so season 3, what was he going through?
That was like just everything. He was looking for Liz Parker Posey, and then that happens at the end of that one. And the weird episode with Chloe Savigny, whatever her name is, where she like just suddenly gets off in the middle of that restaurant. I was like, that just wasn't funny. That was almost like sickly weird, and it made me feel bad.
If you get to see it, there's, I think it's season four coming up. If you get to see the three episodes about the girlfriend, you must watch. You must watch it. Because Pamela Adlon, who does a lot of the writing on there and has made numerous appearances on there.
Right.
I mean, the...
She was Marcy in Californication.
Yes. Yeah. The dynamic of her not wanting any emotion in the relationship. She just wants to be friends and bang and wants no definition on it or anything. And he's, you know, trying to make it a normal boyfriend, girlfriend. I mean, he's being cool about it. He's not being obsessive, but he's like, you know, what the fuck? Why can't you have any feelings? What's your deal? You know, but it is the most masterful depiction of a older couple relationship that are going from like cool 35-ish 40-ish types into their 50s. You know, it is so fucking well done.
But is it depressing?
No, I mean, okay. it's to me it's funny.
See, and at the season three, starting pretty much when he went to Afghanistan and opens his suitcase and his daughter put that duckling in there, I just sat through the whole time going, wow, you know, first of all, it's just depressing because they're in Afghanistan. And then I'm concerned about the duckling, which is making me feel bad about myself because I'm not worrying about the soldiers, but I'm worrying about the damn duck. And then just all the episodes after that, I was just like, God.
Yeah, that I know the season you're talking about. That was kind of like what The Walking Dead went through in that one season, where you were just like, okay.
In the prison, and they had the illness and everything. Oh God.
Yeah, you know, that it was kind of like that, you know. And of course they've come back, and you know, the season I've told you need to watch that was just on TV that you're going to get on Netflix here shortly, is the best season of the five. By far.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yay.
And, you know, because like you, I was just about done with it. I remember turning to Lisa, who's the biggest Walking Dead fan I know, and saying, I think I'm out. And she goes, I may be too. And that's when I went, ooh, they're in trouble if she's thinking of bailing. And then they came back with this amazing episode. And that's kind of what this is. You're going to have to watch the three-parter girlfriend thing. Oh, my God. It was – I laughed my ass off.
So he brings the funny back because I didn't laugh at all. Like,
yeah. You know, I saw him on Jimmy Fallon talking about it. He says, listen, I am really trying to – get across a comedian / writer's life.
I get that.
He said not only where it is currently, but where we come from and why we get like we are. He goes, I've tried to do all that, because the episodes he did where he was as a kid with a drug dealer, Jeremy Renner, and all that. Have you seen those?
I think so.
Oh my God! First off, Jeremy Renner was the best, you know, '60s pot dealer ever. He's just a little New York scumbag. He was awesome, and you know, and he's like getting the kids high. He's like, yeah, well, how old are you? He's like, 13. He's like, come on in, you know. Yeah, it's just like, it's just weed. Who gives a shit? You know, and he's got his scales and his box. He keeps it all in. It was just all, you know, perfectly done. You can tell it's directly from his memory
that he
does this. But I'll tell you what, man, season four of that, when that three-part episode with a girlfriend won me back. It was
okay.
Yeah, because she just fucks with him. I mean, it's so funny, you know. I mean,
now she's another one. Would you put her on your list? Because I think she's just both sexy and cute as a button all at the same time.
She's a chick that at times does not look super good to me, but because she's, you know, snarky and sarcastic and funny, I find her extremely sexy.
Yeah. And I loved her in Californication.
Yeah. Yeah, and her, you know, her voice is cute, and, you know, it's just, she's just...
because she's what? She's Bobby Hill, isn't she?
She is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but she's, you know, she apparently has mad cred as a writer, producer, you know, pretty sought after, consults on a bunch of stuff. She's kind of like Whitney Cummings that way.
And Carrie Fisher is a very good writer, too.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, you just don't think about that. But she actually, for a time, was the one that people took scripts to. She was the fixer.
The fixer, yeah. I've heard that about her. But do check it out. I know you, and I know what you like, I think. And if you get into season four and see those episodes, you'll be back.
Okay. Because I do understand what he's doing. I get that this is like, you know, his life and or close to it. I know what he's trying to show, but then the show, I guess, shouldn't be marketed or at least implied that it's a comedy. Because honestly, the thing that happened ultimately with Parker Posey, I was just devastated. And it was like, I can't believe I just expended this much emotion and energy in something so stupid. And it made me mad, you know? And it's like, I don't know. I just don't know what he's doing, but I do. And I just,
yeah,
I'll do it. I'll, because you said, but I'm, was pretty much done.
Okay, yeah, good. I'll find out exactly what season those are in and where they are, and I'll direct you to them. Yeah, but
okay.
Season four is coming out on Netflix, right?
It's already there.
Yeah, hold on one second here. Maybe I can find it real quick. Make sure I have the right season in mind there.
And by the way, while you're doing that, they announced today that they are finally canceling CSI.
Oh, really?
Yep.
The original?
The original, yes.
I know the cyber one's still out.
15 years.
Yeah.
How is that even possible?
These days? I don't know. But it's pretty much I've thought it was a goner for quite a while.
I haven't watched it in 6 years. I was still stunned just recently, I think over the holidays, you know, at my mom's house, and something was said, and I was like, oh my God, that show is still on the air. I had to have been canceled like 3 or 4 years ago, but it's still going.
Yeah.
But not anymore. They're going to do a 2-hour series ending.
Thank goodness.
Bye-bye, Ted Danson. And I guess they're bringing them all back, at least the ones that can.
Well, they're taking him to the cyber one.
Ted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're taking him they're moving him over with, what's her name, the Oscar winner.
I don't know.
I can't. Okay, here it is. Season four, it's Pamela, part one, part two, and part three.
Okay. I'll give it a try, because I trust you. I believe you.
Yeah, you must. Numbers 49, 52, and 53 in the series.
Okay.
And there's actually a season five, too. So, that's going on right now, I do believe.
Okay.
But I love that show. I'm sorry.
I loved the first two seasons. Yeah. And it just seemed to get more progressively dark and completely without joy, which I understand if as a comic slash writer, your life is completely without joy, then I'm sorry, but don't entertain me with your despair.
Yeah.
I'm watching your show because ultimately I want to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you'll see. Okay. He will save you with that. All right.
Okie dokie.
All right. That wraps up podcast number 44. Stacy, I love doing this with you. It's so fun. It's like our phone calls, except we're letting everybody in on it.
Yes.
Well, most of it. And we will be back with 45 next time. And
sometime.
Yeah. We're getting more uniform at this now. Come on.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. And our listenership is growing, and lots of good things going on here. We have our beautiful, cool new logo that nobody seems to want on a T-shirt, but that's okay.
I know. It's like, yeah. Damn you.
Yeah. I'll be thrilled when somebody buys one on their own. That'll be amazing.
Yes.
And that'll be, I may have to turn that person on to all kinds of swag. So there you go. That's all I got. We will see you next time on the Threesome Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We're enjoying doing it for you. And this is just another and many more to come. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.